Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
For daily episodes of The Chad Duke Show, head on over to chaddukeshow.com and slide a few shekels across the barrelhead. Take it from me, Sweet Daddy James. Listening to The Chad Duke Show is more fun than a naked tour of the Back River Wastewater Treatment Plant.
It is The Chad Duke Show. So excited. You guys have heard me talking about this movie all week long. We actually are featuring it on the Halloween edition of the Fortress Film Society. If you're in for a good monster flick, if you love dinosaur movies as much as I do, Primitive War is going to be your new favorite. It is available video on demand right now in the United States of America. Wherever you rent your movies, buy your movies, go check it out. I'm lucky enough to be joined by the director of said movie. Luke Spark joins me on the Monk's Barbecue Hotline. Luke, great to have you on all the way from Australia. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me, and hello to everyone listening.
Yeah, well, my fan base is going to love what you're putting down, sir, so you feel very comfortable here. First and foremost, congratulations. You're at the finish line. I saw the movie was in the theater. I saw that it did better than you guys were expecting, or at least lived up to expectations. You finally get it to video on demand. Talk a little bit about what a relief it is to be at this point. I know you have expectations and you have things you want the movie to do, but I'd also know how much work goes into a project like this. What are you feeling about it right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, first, thank you. And, you know, we're very proud of the film. I'm very proud of the film. Expectations and you know, releasing the film, especially when you're 100% independent, which is what this movie is. There's no help from studios. We didn't do it traditionally where we went out and pre-sold it and had 100 different committee members trying to make a movie. We just literally made it ourselves. You know, no one believed in the film, you know, even up until we released it. It wasn't until like the opening weekend in America, which we were promised more screens than what we got. And there was this whole back and forth behind the scenes. Even then, until the opening weekend, when it went, you know, better than what people thought, still not as well as what I wanted because of our screen numbers. But people were ringing me, you know, apologizing and saying, oh, we should have trusted more and we should have gone down to more screens. And I was like, oh, it's good. In one hand, it's good. Obviously, thank you that it's gone, you know, what I thought. And the other hand, it's like, you know, it's just another uphill battle. But, you know, obviously the film itself, I'm very proud of. And to get it out on digital this week, I think hopefully fans get behind it at home and really find it and, you know, hopefully makes it explode for us.
There's some questions I have to ask. First of all, you got the perfect Vietnam soundtrack. And I also know that CCR needle drops, my friend, they are not cheap. When you're putting together the music for, because what's great about this movie is, and I hope you take this as a compliment, it reminds me of From Dusk Till Dawn. It reminds me of Sinners, where you've got kind of this concept for a movie that's working really well, and then you add a somewhat fantastical element, and it kind of kicks it into overdrive. And this is a damn good Vietnam movie before it becomes this roller coaster of a dinosaur ride. And you got to get that right. And no disrespect, you're in Australia. Like, it's different there than it is. We watch it differently in America, and you nailed that component of it. How important was it for you to get that part right before you put one dinosaur in this film?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. That was literally my continued, mantra throughout the whole process was that I wanted to feel like, you know, it was a movie like Platoon, like the guys from Platoon walked into, you know, a Jurassic film, rather than, you know, a bunch of, you know, idiot soldiers, mercenaries that you've probably seen in a million other movies walking through the jungle, slack jaw talking, and then suddenly, oh my God, they're getting picked off by dinosaurs. So I wanted to be an authentic Vietnam movie first, and then becomes the dinosaur movie second. And the needle drops and that, no, they're not cheap. And I got to talk to Mr. Fogarty's team and CCR personally, and got to, I went that far because gatekeepers, they love just to be like, no. And when you're making a film like this, you don't really have to take no for an answer. So I just pushed and pushed and pushed to get, you know, the team, you know, to do these effects, but also people like CCR and everything else to get what I wanted. So you just have to be really sort of dogged about the whole thing.
Yeah, that part of it was very important. Working with Jeremy Piven is, I mean, PCU, what a classic. I'm such a big fan. And he fits into this movie perfectly. And sometimes when you see a budget or an independent film that has a big movie star on the front, you're like, is this a bait and switch? Does he get killed off in the first 10 seconds? And his character's important, and his character's, you know, part of the integral, you know, culmination of the plot. But it's also a movie about these other guys that are actually over there in the shit, for lack of a better term. Did you have him in mind from the get-go? Is that something that just worked out when he read for the part? Like, how do you go about acquiring him for that role in this film?
Yeah, him and I have talked for many years, and it's always that thing where you're trying to find the right project or try to find the right time. I was in LA releasing my previous movie, and I caught up with him for breakfast, and we just had a chat, and I sort of was like, hey, I've got this dinosaur film, and you know, we could have gone a very traditional sort of colonel role, you know, stick up his ass, or, you know what I mean, like a guy that just gives a mission and just leaves, and you kind of go, oh, yeah, that's what colonels do. And because it's got this fantastical element that you mentioned before, I thought it would be good just to give that role a bit of sizzle, and it's a bit of something, you know, a bit of something different that you haven't really seen, and not that it's supposed to be a comedy, but like, you know, when army military guys, like obviously Full Metal Jacket, that drill sergeant there, like some of the stuff that they come out with can be perceived funny, the way people talk in particular military roles. So him coming from Entourage is obviously, I'm a huge fan of Entourage. And I thought, you know, what if I brought that sort of sizzle to the film to give it just a little bit of pop in those scenes where there's, you know, no dinosaurs. So that's kind of, and he really dug what I was putting down. So, you know, he came out here and, yeah, made it happen.
Luke Spark is on IG. Follow him at Luke Spark with an E. You can also go find information on the movie Primitive War Official. Primitive War Movie Official. Primitive War Movie Official. It's got all the information where you can find it, video on demand, or just Google it. There's an amazing write-up in Slash Film, which, by the way, Mazel Tov, my friend. Slash Film doesn't like everything. That's an enormous periodical. They were very impressed with your budget. That's got to help move you guys in the right direction.
You would hope so. Like, I made this film and I thought, if this doesn't move the needle, you know, I don't know what will, because I've thrown everything at the screen, including the kitchen sink type situation. But, you know, Hollywood is very fickle. And, but, you know, this is my seventh film, and I'll just keep making them, even if Hollywood doesn't jump on board. So, who knows?
I think they're going to jump on board. Whenever you are going to do a dinosaur movie, I'm always shocked, Luke. I don't know how you feel about it. There are very few things in our world right now, as polarized as it is, that are universally loved and enjoyed, and dinosaurs are on that list. And there was that Adam Driver, I think it was 64 or 65, he was fighting dinosaurs a couple of years back, and I didn't hate it, but I'm always kind of shocked that more people don't take swings because dinosaurs are so beloved. The problem is you're always, and I see it in every review for your film, the world Jurassic, talking about Park, and that's such a behemoth of a franchise, and the original book by Crichton was such a popular culture icon. I read it at a young age 15 times. I've watched all the movies at varying degrees of enjoyment, but you're always going to get compared to that. How do you not let that over-influence? Your dinosaurs look different. A lot of them move differently. I feel like they have different personalities. The viciousness is there. There's no, we're going to keep this blue velociraptor for a pet and we take it home with us. Like, I think that your dinosaurs probably are more realistic than that, but you know that comparison's always going to be there. What type of a pressure is that when you're making a movie that has dinosaurs in it?
Yeah, well, luckily I eat pressure for breakfast. So that's just part and parcel. And to be honest, if you do it well, and even if, I mean, I'm not saying my film is, you know, is a bit better because it's just it's an indie film and whatever. But like, we wear it almost like a badge of pride, of honor, honestly. I mean, you may as well go in sort of having that attitude to be like, well, we're doing this different, we're doing this and that. And when we started this film, Rebirth wasn't even announced. They've announced Rebirth, and we were like 4 weeks into pre-production on this film, and I was like, oh my God, now I got to come up against a Jurassic film. I thought Dominion was the last one. So that was that day I did have a bit of pressure on me, being like, oh my God, because they had, you know, obviously all the money in the world, and then as we got closer, they were releasing trailers and we were releasing trailers. That part was a bit worrying for me, but I think it all turned out well in the end, and we had to really sort of navigate that landscape and picking where we would go and let them go first, or would we go first, and there was a whole thing. But for the original film, obviously I saw it when I was like, you know, quite young, and it changed my life. It made me want to become a director. So, you know, it's like huge shoes to fill, but. You know, as I was going through Hollywood, because I had this book right since 2021, and I pitched it to Hollywood thinking, like you did, that dinosaurs are, you know, like an evergreen, yeah. You know, well-loved thing. And every time I'd go somewhere, they would just say, well, you're not Steven Spielberg, you're not Jurassic, how you, like, why would we do this? Because, hey, how would you do this? And I was like, you know, there's no IP on dinosaurs, you know what I mean? Like, you can do this and not have to worry about the other one, but people did. And that's when I just decided to do it myself. And we just kind of went in knowing that we could do something different. And, you know, and we have the dinosaurs looking different. And we can do things that they can never do because we're R-rated. And stuff like that and the war setting really sets us apart. So I, you know, just had to think about that and not worry too much about that overall franchise and how that would be perceived. When we released.
There's so much cool R-rated stuff in this too, where if you're used to kind of like this sanitized version of dinosaurs, that it's fun to see, it's visceral. And you know, I know you're in the throes of it now, man, and you've made other movies, but how many people do you think were inspired enough when they saw Steven Spielberg directing a dinosaur movie to say, I want to make a dinosaur movie and direct it? And how many of them actually did it and made it to the finish line? You appear to be in very rarefied air.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You're 100% right. And you mentioned before, so you can name a couple of other dinosaur films off the top of your head, but not that many. So it definitely was like a mountain to climb. But
imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
But it's good to be there. And it's just good that when it released, there's people like yourself, and I get inundated with tweets and different things from people just saying that they love the film and it's what the dinosaur movie they've always wanted to see. And that's kind of was my mantra going in. Like as a kid, I saw that movie. I played, it's like, it sounds weird, but it's literally, I played G.I. Joes as a kid. And then when dinosaurs came in the 90s with Jurassic, then I bought those dinosaurs and I would set up, you know, figurine dioramas of soldiers fighting dinosaurs. And I think a lot of kids do that. And to keep that going as an adult is obviously a rare thing, and as a filmmaker you get to daydream for a living and you get to play with all these different, you know, ideas, and when this came across my, you know, when I saw the book and the IP, it just clicked with me as a kid, being like, well, if I like that, I'm sure there's a bunch of other people that like that, because I feel like I'm got my ear to the ground with fandom and fan bases, because I am one myself. I just thought it would click. So it's great to see those people literally writing to me saying, hey, I've always wanted to see this sort of movie. And I'm like, well, that's great, because so did I.
Has Mattel reached out yet for you to make the Dino Riders movie? Because I feel like that is an absolute no-brainer after they lay eyes on this bad boy.
Well, I actually started writing like a spec script for that years ago. Wow. And I was like, tried to find the people to pitch it to. I'm not, you know, so... Look, if anyone knows someone at Mattel, I would be open to it, although I kind of got my own franchise going now with Primitive, so who knows? Feels weird.
Yeah, I think at this point I'd rather see another Primitive War movie than maybe see that, just because, well, let me ask you about that. In a lot of the comparisons that you're getting, I Godzilla Minus One was my movie of the year last year, whenever it came out, and what's great about that movie, it came out when that horrible, no disrespect, but I think it was Godzilla and Kong 2 Electric Boogaloo, they came out right around the same time, and it didn't matter. Like, Godzilla Minus One was such a vision, everybody got behind it. I just saw Tom Cruise praising it. the other day. And one of the things that drew everybody to it was the budget. And I think for movies, I'm a big go see movies in the theater guy. Like, I want the theater experience to continue, but it's got to update. And the only way it's going to update is we got to stop spending, you know, $450 million on a Mission Impossible movie, $300 million on a Flash movie. It's just, it's not that world anymore. And the way you did this, the way you bootstrapped this into existence, I think this is how movies move forward. Like, this is the evolution of what needs to be done. How much of that Godzilla movie do you kind of see in what you're doing here? Because there are a lot of parallels there.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, followed those guys and watched everything that they were doing, because I was amazed by it as well. And then when I saw the behind the scenes of how they achieved it and brought in a very tight-knit group of visual effects artists and people that just were passionate about it, which I think is a huge thing that the industry needs to get more of, like find people who are passionate about what they're making. So yeah, I was really, you know, used as one of my references pitching the show, you know, into existence, of like, look, you know, people are finding a way to make these big monster movies, and we can do that too. Now, our budget was even less than that one. So, you know, it was definitely something that I was keen on and I referenced, and really, really respect that. And I completely agree with what you're saying, that we need to reduce the budgets. I mean, even this weekend at the box office, there was that one battle after another, and, you know, it went okay, and people are saying, you know, it went well, but like even that budget was like huge. And I'm like, whoa, that is a huge budget for that sort of movie. Like 20 years ago, you'd make awesome movies like that, but it would be way less than what that one was. So it's a very weird time.
It's crazy to me. I don't want to circle back, but I'm thinking about the film. There isn't an actor in Hollywood that you could put on a marquee that is more popular and would drive more people to the box office than the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I feel like, and I don't think you'd have to attack Jurassic Park Rebirth or whatever to enjoy your film. But they have been putting the Tyrannosaur on the back burner to put over these genetic, we're combining two different types of, like, you're trying to, I have a big problem with Alien and Predator movies right now, because they're not really about the alien or the predator. They're always these genetic hybrids, and we've come up with this new character. And it's like, you have the benefit of having two of the scariest movie monsters of all time, and you get to make a movie about them. You're not better than that. Just make a movie about these characters. And I feel that way about the Tyrannosaur. That's why I love the Tyrannosaurus on your poster. I love that he's in the movie. And it's just, you could cast George Clooney, and he's not going to be as popular as having a Tyrannosaurus Rex in your movie.
Yeah, well, it's again one of my things. One of my things going into it, once we decided to do it ourselves, I was like, "Well, you know, we're never going to get Scarlett Johansson, but the dinosaurs are going to be like our you know, hero cast of the film." You know, and I love how people have commented that it's the greatest T-Rex love story in cinema history, which was a nice little stamp that I was like, "Well, you know, that's cool." But yeah, I mean, definitely, like, I'm not a fan of hybrids. I'm not a fan of going that way. So it was great for me to be able to spread my wings, and sort of say, nope, these are real dinosaurs straight from the Cretaceous period. They've arrived here in our world. There's no DNA, there's no frogs, there's no literally anything. This is just what I would think dinosaurs, you know, would be like in our world. So that was great to be able to do that and make that stamp.
When do we get action figures?
I'm trying. I've reached out to everyone, and everyone's like, "Well, we need to see more numbers." So, you know, it's all a numbers game. So hopefully, if it goes well on VOD, I can sort of throw them all the numbers and be like, "Let's go."
It just dawned on me. This isn't a very good interview. This is just me telling you what I like about what you did. But another thing I like about what you did is there's so many movies where, like, Olivia Munn is running around with a trank gun, no disrespect, and she's tasked with taking down a predator. It's like, it made so much sense to me that these are soldiers in the middle of a conflict, highly trained veterans. They're being put in the worst situations on Earth. These are the types of men that would be able to potentially survive something like this. And when they encounter new people, it's because of that resourcefulness. And it just, there was a, I hate to also say that it's logical, but yeah, it seemed rather logical with the way that it unfolded. And you know, how these guys were able to kind of coexist in this environment, which would be completely unsurvivable for, you know, a soft-bodied, long-waisted individual like myself. So that part of it was refreshing, too. It's like not a bunch of scientists that have absolutely no ability to go out into the world and survive in a jungle. That doesn't make any sense. You don't have to suspend any disbelief with your main characters surviving because of the way you set this universe up.
Yeah, yeah. another big point, and I completely agree. It's why I did it. You know, I've spent my life around military men. We had some Marine Corps guys on the set, so it was always great for myself and also the cast to sort of turn and be like, "Hey, Freddie Joe, what would you do in this situation?" And he'd be like, "I'll be busting some caps. I'll be pushing out of this." Yeah, you know, everyone's like, "All right, let's go." You know what I mean? Like, so that's definitely.
All right, Primitive War is on X, TikTok, Facebook, IG. Luke is on Instagram as well. Luke Spark with any. Give him, on Twitter, give him a follow there. Tell me what we're looking for. Obviously, people checking out the movie, people giving it a go on demand. Like, what are some reasonable expectations? Like, what's the best case scenario? Like, what are you looking to see as a response that would be beneficial towards the future of movies like this?
I think just getting it into the charts of of the VOD charts this weekend and hopefully stick around in those charts would be beneficial for us. It comes out now and then eventually I guess it will find its way to a streaming service down the track once we hopefully make our money back on VOD. Obviously streaming then is super important these days. It's not beneficial financially to any filmmaker, but the numbers of people watching it is definitely important too. But I feel like this movie will do well on streaming and VOD because it's just a watchable movie. And you see these other movies come to streaming and Netflix originals and whatever, and you sort of watch it for the first 10 minutes and be like, "Oh my god, this movie's terrible." But they don't seem to care about that. The analytics, I've seen the analytics behind the scenes of Netflix, and they just like, as long as people click and dive off after 10 minutes, we don't care. We're just going to, as long as we got 300 million people have clicked on it, it doesn't matter. I'm like, does anyone care about making a good movie? Like, Jesus, it's weird.
Well, the Critical Drinker says all the things he said about your film. I mean, that's you can't buy that type of promotion. I saw a lot of the guys whose movies, opinions I trust online are big fans. So let's continue to do it the way you've been doing it forever. Like, bust down the barriers. Don't let them gatekeep you. I mean, if people like dinosaur and war movies, there is 0% chance you don't enjoy this film. There is no way you can't like this film if those are two things that you enjoy. I'm steaming for you, Luke. I'm going to continue to follow it. I've told my audience we're actually reviewing it on my movie show next week. All the boys loved it. So I think it's going to do really well, man.
Yeah, me too. And just like you said, can't buy that sort of press. And that's what I've loved about. That's what I've loved about the release. Where I've had people like Drinker or Film Threat and a bunch of people who I follow. It's just been nice to know that they jumped on board and liked what I'm putting down. Because, like you just said, the dinos versus soldiers. I mean, I always say to people, the promise of the premise. I hate when you go into films and they give you a trailer in Hollywood and you go, "This is going to be great," and you watch it and you go, "Oh, it's not what I thought." I really wanted to make sure. Like, even the last 15 minutes of this movie is literally my promise of the premise to be like, "You want it? Here you go. Let's go."
I won't spoil it, but it's definitely worth waiting till the end to figure out what you're referring to. And the great thing is, man, we live in such a hyperly politicized world right now where everybody can watch something and take some. There's none of that in this. It's a kick-ass fighting dinosaur movie, and it's also kind of, I don't want to call it a love story to dinosaurs because that doesn't fit, but it's, there's so much respect given to both sides. I'm just thrilled that it exists, and it certainly scratches me where I itch. On demand right now, video on demand, pay for it. Don't steal movies like this for the love of God, or we won't get any new ones. Go check it out and just search Primitive War online to find all the socials and where to get it. Luke, thank you so much, but I know it's crazy early where you are in Australia. Thank you so much for making time today.
That's okay. I really appreciate it.
The great Luke Spark, director of Primitive War. Go rent it, buy it right now. It's the Chad Duke Show.
Hey there, boy. Make sure to check out the Chad Duke Show on YouTube. Doesn't cost nothing, and you can watch me, Big Jim Crabdick, get stoned out of my mind on Friday nights. That's youtube.com/Chad Duke Show. Subscribe for free today and snort a little Old Bay off of Brady Anderson's hog while you're at it.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.